watching online as well. I have a couple of quick announcements for you. On the 22nd, it's a Thursday night here in the sanctuary. We're going to have cookies and carols. It's going to be amazing. And the cookies and hot chocolate are going to be out there, and we're going to sing Christmas carols in here. It's going to be awesome, so invite all your friends. They'll love it. Next Sunday is a combined service. So if you come to celebration service next week at this time, you'll be the only ones here. So come at 11. It's going to be awesome. It's a chancel choir Christmas music. It's going to be great. And at 10 a.m. before the service, we have a dedication of our children's worship room, and that's in honor of Joan Hightower. So you don't want to miss that. That's going to be great. Out in this hallway out here, we have Christmas cards in the Chestnut Lobby from United Methodist Women. They're great cards. You're going to want to buy them and send people Christmas cards. They're great. Today after traditional, I can't even believe this announcement I'm about to make, Jay. Are you ready? That's why Malone's here. Are you ready?
Emma?
Yes. Today, after traditional service, Santa's going to be here. I know. Pastor Sam here in our building at noon, at lunch. So, you know, tell everybody about it. And then at 3 o'clock, you can come back here at 3 o'clock because we're having the children's musical. It's going to be great. Catherine, is this going to be awesome? And it's called Go Tell It on the Mountain. So come back for that. And let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Loving God, we are so thankful that we can come together and worship today. We pray that you'll calm our hearts and our minds and help us focus on you. Amen. And before we play our first song, we have an Advent readers, don't we? And they're amazing. So here they are.
And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be enrolled with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to be delivered. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn.
Advent, as we strive to become the best version of ourselves, fill us with a deep and abiding peace. Help us share that peace with everyone we encounter, especially those who need it most. Amen.
Amen. Would you stand and sing with us this morning?
No!
joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive a king. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and joy to the world. We will sing, sing, sing. Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, while fields and
good morning to everybody. Good morning to you. Good morning to you worshiping with us by live stream. I want to ask you to do something. If you're worshiping by live stream, take a picture of your Christmas tree and send it to us so you can see how beautiful things are. We want to see your beautiful Christmas tree. All right. So Miss Catherine's going to take our children to Children's Church right now. And Jay Hedgebeth is the chairperson of our generosity campaign. He's going to give us an update on Generosity 2023. Slap me five. All right.
Well, good morning again. As Pastor Sam said, I'm the chairperson of the 2023 Generosity campaign, and this year's campaign has been themed "Great is Thy Faithfulness." Of course, a very, very familiar and favorite hymn to many. But it's also a reminder that God is always faithful and rewards those who are faithful indeed as well. So recently we celebrated our 175th anniversary, right? I think that was just last year, I believe. There has been a lot of things that have happened in this church in 175 years, right? We've talked about the diorama that's out there. It shows the small little homestead, basically, built and grew into a chapel, grew into a sanctuary. There have been so many ministries and so many people who have come through here. I want to get a show of hands for people here. Give me some kind of symbol on Facebook, if you can, in the comments. If you're familiar with the Howard Irwin Medical Fund, has anybody here heard of it? Good, we've heard of it. Does anybody know what it does? Good, wonderful. That is something that I did not know. I could not have actually raised my hand until this week. But it is such a fantastic thing that has been going on with this church since 1960. For those of you who don't know, it was started by Mrs. Gilbert Irwin. She's known as Nell. She started it as a memorial to her son, Howard, who had died in his early 20s to cancer. And she had noticed the heavy financial burden that medical expenses can have on your family and yourself. And for that, she wanted to start a fund that was going to help curb the cost of some of those financial expenses. She started that fund with $1,000. 1961. I don't know. Y'all can look at a medical bill these days. $1,000 doesn't really get you a whole lot if you don't have insurance, right? But back then, that was quite a sizable donation. Since 1961, we have given over $165,000 in free medicine within Gadsden, Alabama, for drugs, prescription drugs, and that has been a partnership with the Department of Human Services here. It all started with one woman's vision and $1,000. That money has grown over time and has become $165,000 and continues to be a ministry and a service to this community. And again, that's just one of the things that has gone on here within these church walls. And again, it is a time during this generosity campaign that we want to really emphasize how important it is for these pledges to come in, not necessarily writing a check today, but just so we can budget accordingly for this next year. The pledge cards have been mailed out, and we ask that you send those back in. And again, we understand sometimes the dog eats the pledge card, or the trash can eats the pledge card, thinking that it's spam. So if that is the case, or if you want to just get it taken care of today, we are going to have tables set up through the month of December outside the sanctuary with people here that will help you fill those cards out in person. There's also a big push for e-giving. So if it's something that you would be interested in and you may not know exactly how to get started on that, we'll be glad to set up a time with you to get that set up for you. It's a very easy way to contribute. I know we have a lot of people who do that. If that's something that would interest you, let us know. I'll be here after the service. Pastor Sam will, and Mark's in the back there. We have people who can help with that. Sam, I'll turn it back over to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jay, for that reminder. Even Santa Claus has sent his card in, so you know, you can't be outdone by that. We do thank you for your generosity, not just in your tithes and offerings, but also with your time and your talents. As you can see, we've got a lot of talent and a lot of people that are volunteering in this church. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this is the time of the year for giving, to be reminded of your great gift to the world and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so, God, help us to, in response to your faithfulness, be faithful ourselves so that we can share strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and ever pining, till he appeared and when Christ was born.
Don't y'all just love good Christmas music? I do. Yeah. Make sure you come next week at 11 o'clock for our Christmas musical. We're going to have a big choir, orchestra. Kayla's going to be there. Her sister's singing right beside her. It's exciting. I'm going to be singing in the choir, so you don't want to miss that. I don't know about you, but I kind of have to, like, build up momentum to get to Christmas. I don't start out jumping up and down, you know, like Will Ferrell on Elf about Christmas. I kind of have to build up to it. And one of the ways to do that is by the Advent candle lighting and the preparation and the anticipation, and then we gradually start singing more Christmas songs. And if you're like me and you're just like trying to get there for Christmas and trying to get into the Christmas mood, come this afternoon at 3 o'clock and listen to those kids sing. And, you know, if that don't crank your tractor, you need new spark plugs. So, all right. Isaiah chapter 7, verses 10 through 17. 10 through 14 is our scripture for today. And I invite you to follow along with me up on the screen or on, in your Bible, Isaiah chapter 7, verses 10 through 14. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, saying, "Ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be as deep as Sheol or as high as heaven." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test." Then Isaiah said, "Hear then, O house of David. Is it too little for you to weary mortals that you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the young woman is with child and will bear a son, and you shall name him Emmanuel. And he shall eat curds and honey by the time he knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land before whose two kings you are in dread will be deserted." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Jesus is known by many different names and by different titles throughout the Bible. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He's the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He is the author and finisher of our faith, the way, the truth, and the life, the bread of life, the morning star, chief cornerstone, the Christ, the Son of the living God. You get the idea. I went through just a study Bible that I had, and I started counting the different names and titles that were connected with Jesus, and I gave up when I got to 200. That's how many different names and titles are associated with Jesus. But during this season of Advent, I want to, for the next four times that I get to preach to y'all, I want to focus on four particular names and titles that are associated with Jesus that have deep meaning for us during the Advent season. Today, we're going to look at Jesus as Emmanuel. I hope that you will take advantage of all of our special services during the season of Advent and all the other services, to all the things that we do, because during the, hectic pace of this time of the year, it is important for us to make room for what's really important, the Christ of Christmas. So today we're looking at Jesus as Emmanuel, which the prophet Isaiah tells us means God is with us. God is with us. So the name Emmanuel had a very special and deep meaning for the people in Isaiah's day, and this would be the 8th century BC. In Isaiah's time, Emmanuel was offered as a sign for King Ahaz. And you might wonder who King Ahaz was. Ahaz was king of Judah. And Ahaz, at this moment in time, in the 8th century BC, when Isaiah gave this prophecy, he and his people were scared to death. They were shaking in their boots because the king of Syria, King Rezin of Syria, King Pekah of Israel, those two nations had joined together to make an alliance to come and attack Jerusalem. And they were planning on breaching the wall of the city, coming in and conquering and trampling the whole city of Jerusalem. So how afraid were they? Well, verse 2 in chapter 7 of Isaiah says, "The heart of Ahaz and the heart of his people shook as the trees in the forest shake in the wind." Their hearts were shaking like the trees shake in the wind. God told Isaiah the prophet to go to Ahaz and to tell him this, and this is a very important message. "Take heed, be quiet, do not fear, and do not let your heart faint." I want to say that again because that's a powerful message from God to the king. Take heed, be quiet, do not fear. Do not let your heart faint. And I don't know about you, but if I was Ahaz at that particular moment, I would be saying, what do you mean take heed? What do you mean be quiet? What do you mean do not fear? What do you mean do not let my heart fade? This seems like a perfect time to panic. There's two nations that have armies that have allied to come together just to fight our one little nation. And then God did something really kind of strange. God moved toward Ahaz. Now this is strange because Ahaz was a really bad king. He was bad. He was idolatrous. The scripture says he didn't follow in the ways of his ancestor David. And still God moved toward him. And this was the message to Ahaz. Ahaz, you can trust me. In fact, I want you to ask me for a sign. I want you to ask me for a sign. And maybe it was because Ahaz knew that he had been less than a good king. He knew he had been unfaithful or whatever. For whatever reason, he said, Lord, no, I'm not going to ask you for a sign. I'm not going to ask you for a sign. And then God said something to me that, I don't know, my dad used to say this to me whenever I was exasperating him, which was often. My dad would say to me, boy, you are wearing me out. And that's exactly what God said to Ahaz. Ahaz, you're wearing me out. Look, I'm going to give you a sign anyway. Here's your sign. It's a young woman. She's pregnant. And she's going to have a child. And the child's going to be named Emmanuel, which is God with us. And before that child is weaned, both nations who are allied against you, both Israel and Syria, will both be crushed. They'll be out of the picture. That's your sign, Ahaz. That sign, Emmanuel, meant God is with us. That was the prophecy. It was the sign for Ahaz and for Judah that however awful it looked, it looked like the bottom was fixing to fall out. However awful it looked, they needed to not panic, but they needed to take heed, which is a fancy way of listening, saying listen. Be quiet, which is a fancy way of, you know, stop talking. Stop complaining about all your troubles. They needed to not be afraid and not let their heart faint. And they were like, but those armies. And God was like, shh, just chill. God is with us. God is with us. So this is a prophecy, of course, in the 8th century B.C. Isaiah was a prophet. But prophecies sometimes have a near fulfillment and then a far away fulfillment. The near fulfillment was what God was doing for Ahaz and Judah right then. There was a mother that was going to have a child, and the child was going to be named Emmanuel. And that Emmanuel was a sign that God was with them. The far fulfillment was going to take place in the first century AD when Jesus was born. The name Emmanuel not only had great meaning for Isaiah, it has great meaning for the first century believers in God when God was again moving toward his people. You know this part of the Christmas story. The angel came to Joseph and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. And then Matthew goes on in a very beautiful way to tie the scripture that we just read in Isaiah to the New Testament. And here's what he says in verses 22 and 23, Matthew 1. All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. God is with us. It reminds me of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 14. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Any of y'all heard that scripture before? The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's what Emmanuel is. God with us. I love how the translation, The Message, puts John 1:14. Listen to this. It says, the Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. Moved into the neighborhood. God with us means God moved into the neighborhood right beside us. And you know what? God in Isaiah's day, and God in the day of Jesus, when Jesus was born, did not move into a swanky neighborhood, Pastor Andy. He moved into a sketchy neighborhood, right? He moved into Isaiah's time. It was a time of idolatry, and it was a dangerous time. It was a time of impending war. In the first century, Jesus, Emmanuel, was Emmanuel who moved into a podunk neighborhood named Nazareth. And you talk about dangerous and troubled. Rome had come in and conquered the land, and Herod was there, and he was wicked and evil. And Herod was proclaimed as king of the Jews. And Herod was so evil and so paranoid that after he heard that a new king of the Jews had been born, he ordered all of the two-year-old male infants to be slaughtered just to make sure that he got the right one. It was a terrible neighborhood to move into. A place with a broken past and a grieving present and an uncertain future. And yet God moved in and said, I'm with you. Take heed, which means listen. Be quiet, which means don't just complain all the time. Don't be afraid. What do you mean, don't be afraid? I'm with you. Don't let your heart faint. I've moved into the neighborhood. The 21st century neighborhood that Emmanuel comes to our world today, I don't know, it's kind of a scary neighborhood now, isn't it? Not all that much different from the 8th century BC or the 1st century in Bethlehem. I mean, kind of a broken past, kind of a grieving present. There's a lot to grieve about, and certainly an uncertain future. Honestly, it looks like God wouldn't want to move into this neighborhood. Maybe God would just pass this by and go on to the next galaxy past the Milky Way. But God chooses to move in and be neighbors here with us, in solidarity with us, in the most intimate way possible, by actually taking on human flesh and blood and being here with us. Now, I'm an educated person, but I can't stand up here and tell you that I understand the mystery of the incarnation, of how the Word became flesh and moved into the neighborhood. I can't explain it to you. I just believe it. I believe it because I have faith, and I believe it because at some level, all the time, I have experienced the presence, the God with us presence. Whenever we gather together in this place to worship, and whenever we gather in small groups, and just in the still of the night and the dark night of the soul, and in joyful times and in trying times, I experience the promise that Hebrews 13:5 says, I will never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I have found it to be true. I have felt that presence, even on my worst days. God is with me. Friend of mine, who's a United Methodist pastor, he's retired now. His name is Coy Hallmark, and he and I work together, and I've just known him forever. He told me a story one time about when he was a little boy. He grew up in the same county, the other end of the county in northwest Alabama, as I did. But when he was a little boy, he went over to his grandmother's house, and his grandmother had an outhouse. Raise your hand if you know what an outhouse is. That's just about everybody. If you don't know what an outhouse is, ask the person next to you who raised their hand. They'll tell you after church. He was out playing behind his grandmother's outhouse. He was doing one of those things that your mom and dad tell you never to do. Don't play with matches. If you're listening at home, don't play with matches. It's for real. Don't do that. Because he would tell you, he was playing with matches behind the outhouse, and he set the grass on fire. And at first he thought, cool, I made a fire. And then he started noticing that the fire was getting closer and closer to the outhouse. And he thought, oh no, I'm about to burn down Mamaw's outhouse. And so he started doing the only thing he knew to do, which was stomping, trying to stomp the fire out. And he stomped, 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 stomped. And he stomped till he got right up next to the outhouse itself. He was stomping as hard as he could. And as he did one big stomp, the ground gave way and he went down into the pit of doom. Up to his waist in waste. Let's just put it that way. So he, of course, was frightened to death, screaming. He's just a little boy, screaming, hollering, just covered. Somehow he crawls out of the pit of despair, and he's going across the yard, kind of like a zombie, crying, tears streaming down his face, yelling, and his grandmother hears what's happening, and she comes out of the door. She comes across the yard, and there is a moment where his grandmother's eyes and his eyes locked with each other, and she took in the scene. And he said, in that moment, he thought, she is going to be so mad with me. She's either going to hold her nose because I'm covered with debris, and she's either going to hold her nose and go run away, or she's going to go cut a switch. You grew up in the country, you know what it means to go cut a switch. But his grandmother didn't do either one of those. She ran to him, and she wrapped him up in a hug, and she let him cry it out. And once he got it cried out, she said, come on, let's go get you cleaned up. Now, I tell you that story because I can't think of any better explanation of what Emmanuel means. I think sometimes we picture in our minds God as an old man with a long white beard who's angry all the time and just looking to go cut a switch. Who tells us, you better clean yourself up, and then maybe we'll talk. But let this be a sign to us today that Emmanuel comes to us, moves into the neighborhood, holds us close, lets us cry it out, and then says, come on, let's get you cleaned up. God should be repelled by this neighborhood, but God draws near. God should shake his head, but he understands. How could he possibly understand what you're going through, what I'm going through, what the world is going through? Because he moved into the neighborhood. He was willing to do whatever it took to make a relationship possible. So Emmanuel is the sign that God was with us and is with us and always will be. All the way up to the ends of our days here on earth, God is with us in life, in death, in life after death. John Wesley, who, as you know, was the founder of the Methodist movement, knew the importance of Emmanuel. And if you read about his life, he had a lifetime of course, joys and successes, but a lot of controversy, a lot of struggle, a lot of failure, a lot of family drama. But lying on his deathbed, these were John Wesley's last words. His last words were, the best of all is God is with us. The best of all. Now I know I'm Methodist all the way down to my toenails, but I'm going to have to agree with John Wesley on this one too. Emmanuel, God is with us, is the best of all. Let's pray. God, sometimes it's hard to understand how you would move into this neighborhood. It's sometimes amazing when we think about how you move toward us instead of away from us. In fact, if there's distance between us, it's not because of you, it's because we've turned our backs. So God, help us to turn toward you as you turn your face toward us, to lean into your embrace. And Lord, then to say, okay, come on, we'll get cleaned up. Thank you for being God with us. Not God against us. Not God far away, but God with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Will you stand as we sing? Don't forget on your way out to come out this door, get a cup of coffee, take a look around the UMW table, the Christmas cards and items for sale, and grab your generosity card on the way out too. Now hear this benediction. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and our minds through the knowledge that God is with us. Amen.